and speak of the dashing devil himself, Tommy Wealdon Jr.
Top of the table, Tommy!
What, Gaffer?
What's going on, boys?
What's happening?
It's good. It's good. Good to talk to you again. We have to wait until we get big tournaments till we start chatting again, I guess.
Yeah, you know what it is. I guess we're just fair weather friends. We're terrible friends.
If you guys weren't so lazy down at Spruce Meadows and you got the season underway, we'd be talking a lot, Tommy. I'm putting this on you.
Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. So how you been making out? What's the latest?
Well, I'm getting ready to depart for Winnipeg.
Winnipeg,
here,
yeah.
Yeah, we're leaving on the 21st for a kickoff on our first game is the 27th of June. So once we get to our location and follow the necessary protocols as you do, we're just looking forward to playing again. My word, it's a long time.
Well, I know I was going to say you had the bubble in PEI, and I think you're going to probably notice that Charlottetown and Winnipeg, very similar cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same sort of ocean. I mean, yeah. Somebody joked, my neighbor joked to me the other day, said, Winnipeg, it's not the end of the world, but you can sure see it from there.
You can kind of see it from there for sure.
Mosquitoes the size of pterodactyls, welcome. Welcome, Tommy, welcome.
Listen, you know what, I've said it before. You know, if it meant playing the season again, we'd play on the Sahara Desert or we'd play, you know, on Alcatraz. It really didn't matter. We just want to get playing. So the fact Winnipeg are willing to host us, we're all at it.
Go ahead, Ryan. I stepped all over you there.
Well, no, and I stepped on you. That's what we do here. One man in a basement, one man downtown, and a boss listening, not worried about it. why don't we start with our national team? I know Euro's coming up. We'll be chatting daily about that, and there's lots of runway for that. But the Canadian men made short work of Suriname. Not a soccer giant, but certainly men's national teams of years past could have stumbled and would have stumbled in this spot. Walk us through qualifying for Qatar next summer for our national squad that suddenly has got some electric talent up front.
Yeah, it was a good test because I think when you look at the games recently against the Cayman Islands and Aruba, you know, they're not necessarily the threats in CONCACAF that Canada have to overcome. Suriname right now having a little bit of a change because, you know, being a previous Dutch colony, it's using a lot of players that have come through there through their ethnic descent. So, you know, these are players that are playing in the Eredivisie and leagues around there. So they're a better opposition, but, you know, it just shows these are the strength of this Canada team. And, you know, when you spoil for choice of who to play with, you know, Kyle Larin, Cavani or Jonathan David as your striker, I mean, that's an abundance of riches. So I think that's good. Not to mention, you know, Alphonso Davies. So I think John Urban got his tactics right. You know, he found a formation that could get all the best players on the pitch at the same time. He's got an abundance of talent. What will be nice now is how that translates into playing Haiti, because now that's the next layer that we've got to start beating if we're going to be in the conversation for Qatar. We've got to start beating Haiti. We've got to start beating, you know, Honduras and Costa Rica if we're ever to threaten, you know, what the U.S. and Mexico, you know, when you watch those highlights, that they are an intense rivalry, and Canada's just on the cusp of it, but, you know, we've got to beat what's in front of us right now.
So if people aren't familiar, they're into the second round of World Cup qualifying. It's two games against the Haitians, one down in the tropics, another, I believe, in Chicago at SeatGeek Stadium, whatever that is. And then if they get through that two-legged, then they're in with the big boys. Then you get the Ticos, you get the Reggae Boys, mm-hmm. you get the Mexicans and Americans. That's where they belong. How do you see them stacking up in two games against the Haitians?
I think this is a far better squad. I think there's a massive buy-in from the group. I think they're pound for pound and player for player far superior than Haitians. The issue is you've got to go to Haiti to play one of the games, and you don't know what the pitch conditions will be like. You don't know what the climate will be like. And then the same token, you don't get to bring them up to Canada right now. But we never know. You know, things are changing all the time, and look at what they're doing, you know, with the NHL, whether they'll be able to, you know, move and cross borders for games here soon. So, you know, hopefully there's room for change, because wouldn't it be nice to have the Canadian national team playing at home in Canada for that second all-important tie against the Haitians to get into the final qualifiers.
I just like the idea of bringing Mexico up to play in Edmonton in November, something like that. That feels fair after all the times the Canadians have lost in like 37-degree full humidity in like Honduras.
Do you know what? And I heard John Erdman say something about that. You know, when Canada last qualified for the World Cup, they brought the Hondurans up to, you know, St. John's, Newfoundland. And all these Hondurans were coming up and it's freezing. So why not play to the advantage? Because I tell you, you know, Nick Ledgewood will tell you, when he went down to Honduras and they battered them, they weren't just battering on the pitch. They were throwing bags of urine at them, you know, and putting car alarms off, you know, in the middle of the night outside the hotel. So these are the things that fans don't realize what goes on. And that's a huge psychological advantage. But, you know, as we've always done, being good Canadians is we welcome them with open hands. But I think it's time to change that if we really want to compete.
Okay, so that's next summer. That's Qatar, the Canadian squad, as good as it's looked maybe in my life. As for the tournament we're going to be talking about on a daily basis, that is Euro 2020, a year postponed and smattered across a bunch of different cities around Europe. Walk us through this year's tournament. What, 24 teams? Is this the first in the expanded format?
Yeah, it is. 24 teams and 11 different countries, which is really cool because what that does is, you know, and that was prior to COVID, saying, look at the landmass of Europe. Is there not a way where we can, you know, spread the wealth a bit? And there's some phenomenal stadiums. I mean, you know, it's going to open up in Rome and Italy with Italy-Turkey tomorrow. And then you're looking, you're going from everywhere, from Azerbaijan to Russia to Denmark to the Netherlands, Romania, London, Glasgow, Spain, Germany and Hungary are all host countries. So what that does is every team that gets there, you know, England right now, I've a home pitch advantage being at Wembley Stadium, which is, you know, that's the cathedral of football for England. And it just shows that all these countries get to have, you know, a big tournament in it. And I think it's neat because, you know, when we host or be part host in this country of the 2026 World Cup, it can show now in the Monday. It's not just one country. It's now, you know, three countries that will host the 2026 with the US, Mexico and Canada. I think it's a really neat concept. What that allows for as well is, you know, the group games, as excited as we are, you've always usually had to finish in the top two. But now, you know, four out of the six groups, the third best place finisher. So when you look at the group of F, which is, you know, the group of death, you've got France, Germany, Portugal. Usually one of them you'd think would be getting knocked out. But in this scenario, you know, they're going to go through as, you know, possibly the best, one of the best third place finishers. So makes for an interesting tournament. It keeps everybody alive. Really, it's just, you know, in this current climate now is survive and thrive the group stages and then get yourself into knockout football. And then once you're in knockout football, you've got the quarters, semis and the finals and go from there. And obviously the round of 16.
Who are the favourites?
Well, it's an interesting one, really, isn't it? Because you look at, you could say Belgium are FIFA ranked number one. So they can no longer be tagged a dark horse. If they're ranked FIFA number one, they have to be, you know, in the conversation as being one of the favourites. Then you look in Group F, the group of death, you've got France, who are the current World Cup hosts, winners, and you've got Portugal, who are the current Euro holders. So really now you've got champions elect in that group, and the Germans, you can never write off the Germans being in that side. So for me, I would personally say I think the French have just got everything. They've got athleticism, they've got tactical organisation, they've got game-changing players like Mbappe. They brought Benzema back in. You know, Pogba seems to be one of these players that, you know, he always gets his critics playing for Man U, but he comes alive in the French national team. So he shows himself as one of the best midfielders when he's playing in the blue of France. For me, if I had to take a bet before any ball is kicked, I would say France. I just think they've got too much in all departments. They seem to have coverage. They're a young enough squad and full of winners. You know, as an outsider, that would be a good outside bet because of the way the bracket works. I think you got to look at Italy. They're not talked about a lot. Same as the Germans. They're not talked about a lot. But Italy now have gone 10 wins out of 10 in qualifying. They're unbeaten in 25. And nobody's really talking about them. And Roberto Mancini is the manager. He's a proven winner when he was, you know, lifted the premiership with Man City. And I think what we're looking at now is, they're defensively, as we know with the Italians, they're always organised with Chiellini and Bonucci and Donnarumma, the goalie. They'll always, you know, refuse to lose and give up goals. But, you know, in Ciro Immobile, they've got a goal scorer now. They've got Chiesa with a little bit of pace and Insignia. So they're actually really exciting going forward and they're scoring more goals than they usually have. So if you want to put an outside bet on them, I'd say them. But for me, I think you can't look further past the French.
And finally, these kinds of tournaments, there's a lot of us that don't have a strong rooting interest. Dean's a free agent, although he's also a free agent in the NFL, which seems crazy. who could capture our hearts and have us losing our minds and cheering for a place we've never visited, perhaps like, you know, Iceland did with their plumbers and auditors and car repairmen at the last couple of major world tournaments?
Well, I think when you look at it that way, Iceland was a great story, and I think it did capture hearts and minds. Finland would probably be the next version out there playing in their first ever tournament. So, you know, they're the minnows that are stepping up. And I tell you, we've studied a lot, you know, as Canadian coaches and an infrastructure, how, you know, Finland and Iceland can produce, you know, teams that can compete against the best based on where they've come from. And I think they're a remarkable story. So, you know, plus there's something about the Scandinavians, you know. I started becoming a little bit of a history buff over COVID and watching some of these Viking shows, and you can just see how the mentality still is in their DNA, you know. So I think in that group of, you know, group B where they've got the Finns and the Danes, I think that'll make for an interesting matchup. The other outsider I would say is Turkey. You know, they've brought in their coach that took them to the semis in 2002. And they look, you know, strong. So I think they would be a good dark horse. And, you know, if you ever you want to root for an underdog, root for Hungary. Boomer, we're always hungry, right? I like food.
Well, I was going to say, we're talking about Turkey and Italy, and then we're hungry. I mean, what are we talking about here? I'm dying over here.
So let's root for Hungary, because they're playing in the group of death. So, I mean, you can snack.
Perfect.
You can watch football. Yeah, it's a win for everybody.
Good stuff.
Well, and here's the thing. If we have a good underdog story, it's just good for our show. Case in point, the Iceland run. That went on for like another 2 minutes.
Hand on the kettle there.
Yeah, we won. Our whole thing was, is that a soccer goal or a man being burned alive in a vat of acid? It's one or the other.
Could be both, yeah. Probably the acid.
Probably
actually.
One or the other, yeah. Hard to say, hard to say.
Text in your answer.
Yeah.
960-960 all for SML Entertainment, yeah.
Appreciate you, Tommy. Looking forward to getting into it, even because, again, am I a huge soccer fan? I'm certainly not here to try and fool anybody, but it's tournaments like this that I think it kind of captivates you. I think it's like March Madness when you get... Yeah. The fever and the excitement behind it, and it's a tight tournament, and it's a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to having you on here, man. It's going to be good.
Tomorrow game day.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Be
tomorrow's
ready.
Game day. Italy, Turkey. There you go.
Delicious.
Have an Italian turkey.
Yeah.
Little mashed potatoes.
That's right. Good to talk to you, buddy. Take care.
Cheers, bye.